Today's scripture comes from the Gospel of Mark, the second chapter, verses 1 through 12. When Jesus returned to Capernaum after some days, it was reported that he was at home. So many gathered around that there was no longer room for them, not even in front of the door, and he was speaking the word to them. Then some people came, bringing to him a paralyzed man, carried by four of them. And when they could not bring him to Jesus because of the crowd, they removed the roof above him. And after having dug through it, they let down the mat on which the paralytic lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now some of the scribes were sitting there questioning in their hearts, "Why does this fellow speak in this way? It is blasphemy. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" At once, Jesus perceived in his spirit that they were discussing these questions among themselves, and he said to them, "Why do you raise such questions in your hearts? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Stand up and take your mat and walk'? But so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralytic, "I say to you, stand up, take your mat, and go to your home." And he stood up and immediately took the mat and went out before all of them, so that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Will you pray with me, please? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be life-giving and life-affirming, O Holy One, for you are our guide and strength. Amen. So today's scripture text is the story that we call the healing of the paralytic. Perhaps you remember it. Jesus was in Capernaum, and when people learned he was there, they came to hear him teach. In fact, so many people came to listen that the entire house he was in was full, and people overflowed out of the house, staying to hear Jesus share God's message with them. Then, we're told, some people came bringing to him a paralyzed man, carried by four of them. And when they could not bring him to Jesus because of the crowd, they removed the roof above Jesus, and after having dug through it, they let down the mat on which the paralytic lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Picture with me, if you will, picture being in a home, possibly your own home, maybe someone else's, overcrowded with people, packed tightly in so that there was barely room to move. And suddenly, as you sit there teaching, small pieces of the roof begin to fall, chunks of mud and debris. I would wonder first about the stability of the building. Are there so many people in here that it's no longer stable? And then you see a tiny hole that gets larger and larger so you can see the sky above and a man being lowered down and placed in front of you. What would you do? Can you imagine yourself sitting there calmly as it unfolded the way we are told Jesus did? As we've been learning how to be welcoming of others in the way of Christ, I think one of the things that holds us back from being fully welcoming, fully inclusive, is because we're not truly aware of others. You see, I think more often than not, we don't see people for who we are. Instead, we project on them our assumptions about them, about their life, about what they may be feeling or why they're doing what they're doing. You see, we assume we see the majority of someone clearly and only miss some sliver, when I think instead it's likely the opposite. that what we may see clearly is just a sliver and we miss the greater majority. And this is even greater, potentially, I believe, for those of us who are white when interacting with persons who are black or persons of color in our culture. Or for those of us who are heterosexual interacting with folks from the queer community. Many times, if we've not experienced it, we just don't understand it. Or even worse, if we haven't experienced it, then we decide it doesn't exist. People's entire reality denied because we don't see. So the question is, how often do you take the time to really look at other people? How often do we instead fall into stereotyping of people that comes all too easily, and we miss the real person, and we miss the simple words of faith or healing or support that they need and we could provide if only we saw more clearly? In today's story, what really stands out for me is that Jesus meets the paralyzed man at his point of need. You know, I would expect when the man was lowered in front of Jesus that Jesus would have healed his paralysis, physically made him better. But instead, Jesus tells him, "Your sins are forgiven." And it's not until the Pharisees and the religious leaders gathered with Jesus start to object and to argue with him, only then did Jesus bring physical healing. I wonder, if the paralyzed man had left Jesus still paralyzed but with his spirit healed, I wonder if the man's friends would have understood. Would they have understood if their friend said, "I am healed, thank you for taking me to see Jesus," as they had to pick him up and carry him away? Would we have seen? Would you have understood? I wonder if I would. In the way of Jesus, you and I are invited to be aware of God's presence at work in the world, invited to love on God's behalf, and God will do the rest. And Jesus' ministry teaches us that the love God asks us to display toward others is not a feeling or an emotion, it's a choice. In almost every moment of our lives, we have a choice. Whether we will react to someone in ways that are hurtful or harmful to them, or whether we will respond in ways that bring healing out of love. Jesus said to his disciples, and he says to us, "When someone takes your coat, offer them your shirt as well. When someone strikes you, turn to them the other cheek." Yes, it's painful. Yes, it's hard. And despite all that, Jesus says one word: love. Jesus doesn't separate loving God and loving others. Jesus doesn't say it's okay to love one group of people more or less than another group. The defining mark of following Jesus is love. And Jesus' ministry tells us, if we love God and don't love those around us, then we really aren't loving God. You see, how you love others is a sign of how you love God. And so I wonder, do you love like the friends of the paralytic? Those friends who go out of their way to bring healing to the man, the friends digging through the roof of the home instead of simply turning and going the other way when they realized there was no way they could get their friend inside the door to see Jesus. Imagine the weight of carrying someone up onto a roof, hoisting him up, lowering him through. He's paralyzed, so he is dead weight and unable to help them. You know, we don't know much about the man's faith, but we know that his friend's faith was strong enough to bring him to Jesus for healing. Do you see in Jesus what they saw? Will you have the courage of your faith to help someone else when the opportunity appears? Or perhaps you love like the Pharisees and religious leaders who care that things are done properly and in a certain fashion. You see, process was very important, process and not person, even if that meant that someone's healing had to wait. This kind of loving puts up barriers to others knowing and experiencing God. And perhaps you know someone like this. Someone who is concerned how things must be done, or someone who's not willing to speak a word of peace, a word of love, perhaps not wanting to sound foolish, or deciding that the time was not right, or the place was not right, or maybe even the person was not right. Perhaps at times, this describes all of us. Or maybe you love like Jesus. Jesus, who is open and aware of the moment and seeks to bring healing at all times. Jesus, who seeks to meet the man at his place of need. Jesus, who looks with compassion on others even when the unexpected happens and a man is lowered through the roof and placed in front of him. When confronted with the unexpected, how do you respond? So how do we do it? I think that's the question before us. How do we love others? How do we get rid of the barriers, the ones that we've created? How do we remove the things that stand in the way of caring for others, the things that stand in the way of sharing grace with others? Well, the love Jesus calls us to is not an emotion, it's a choice. So to begin, we must choose to let love be the defining mark of our journey with Jesus. Once we have done that, once we have made that decision, then we begin, I think, first by checking ourselves. What assumptions guide our living? Assumptions about ourselves? Assumptions about God, assumptions about others. I invite you to make asking yourself this question a spiritual practice. Invite God to show you the blind spots that you've lived with. Begin to love simply by beginning to see. And then reach out to others and build relationships, especially with others who are different from you. Maybe they have a different gender expression or grew up in a different economic situation than you, or perhaps their skin color is different than yours. Work to make your relationship a safe place that each of you might be who you truly are. So check your assumptions and your expectations. And then act. Act on the guidance of God's presence that grows in your life and in your relationships. Jesus shows us that love is an action verb. It's not a passive feeling. Find the courage to step out. Find the courage to support one another, removing barriers to wholeness. You will find that the barriers that you had have been transformed into bridges. Bridges that connect us with one another, bridges that connect us to God. Every choice you make has the opportunity to bring healing and grace to this world and the people in it. It is my prayer in the journey ahead that God finds you willing to remove the barriers that kept us apart and instead build bridges that connect us in faith and grace. Amen.